Sunday messages from Westwood Bible Fellowship. It's been a while since we've put one on the web, but hey, we're back. Today's topic is gratitude and thanksgiving. We exist to glorify God. So join us as we take a look at the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19 today.
We are in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. We are continuing our study through the book of Luke. We've been in Luke for quite some time. We take breaks every now and then as circumstances warrant. But by and large, we are studying through the book of Luke. And hey, we've arrived at chapter 17. 741 is page 741 in the House Bibles.
Chapter 17.
Chapter 17, starting in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 lepers cleaned? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes to see you. To see the truth of your word. Open our ears to hear the message that you would bring to us today, Lord. Open our minds and grant us the understanding that we do not have in our human failures. Soften our hearts, God, that we may be receptive to the gospel and the life-changing force of your word. In your most holy and precious name and for your glory, amen. Okay, Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem. As he's going along, there are 10 lepers that cry out for healing. Leprosy during that time was a nasty, nasty disease. There are a lot of different kinds of leprosy, but basically it was living death. Your body started to die while you were still living. Parts of your body started to rot and fall away. And it was so horrendous. And some types were even contagious. So that anybody that had leprosy was separated from the community. They were separated from society and from their culture. There are laws in the Old Testament that God set down how to handle leprosy, how to treat people that had leprosy, and most importantly, how to bring people back into the fellowship of the community once the leprosy was gone, if it ever left. Leprosy, by and large, though, was a fatal condition. One of the things, probably one of the most difficult things for any leper to deal with, was the fact that they were completely and totally removed from friends and family. If you contracted leprosy, you had to leave town. You couldn't stay in your house. You could not have physical contact with anybody. No human touch. None. Lepers generally lived in graves and cemeteries. Cemeteries back then were, if you recall, the story of Jesus' crucifixion and his burial. He was put in a tomb that was carved into the side of a cliff with a stone rolled away. Same thing, Lazarus, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it was in that kind of a tomb. Tombs back then weren't dug 6 feet under the ground like we do it here today in our culture in America. They were often in caves. Lepers were living dead. They lived in tombs. Whenever they walked from place to place, they had to call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that nobody would accidentally come too close to them. People who were whole, were healthy, crossed on the other side, mandated to cross on the other side of the road away from a leper, if a leper was on the road. We saw a story both in Mark and in Luke earlier on where a leper came up to Jesus. He broke all the rules and approached Jesus, saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus Christ, pleased by his faith and is willing to step out and challenge things, healed him. Here we have 10 lepers that call from a far way off. They call from a distance. They stood at a distance as they were supposed to, according to the rules and the regulations of that day and age. And they called out. They lifted up their voices. They lifted up their voices. In other words, they yelled. They yelled. They wanted to make sure they were heard. And they called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." I love that phrase. Master, have mercy on us. They recognize the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. And he was the rightful, he's the one that had the right to tell them what to do. He was the boss of them. I love, my kids are at that age, "You're not the boss of me." I love that phrase. You know, not to me, I am the boss of you, but to each other. But here are these men, "Jesus, the boss of me, have mercy." They cried out. They cried out from a distance because they were not allowed to approach. "Have mercy on us." And he told them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Huh? The other times he touched a leper, "Be healed, be made well." Or he'd just speak to them. "Okay, fine, you're clean." This time he said, "Go show yourself to the priest," the first thing. What was the deal with that? The means by which a leper could be brought back into the community was by showing the priests that you no longer had leprosy. Leprosy was such a horrendous disease that when somebody had leprosy, a priest would declare them unclean. From that moment on, they were separated from society. But if their leprosy should go away, they were to present themselves to the priest. A priest would examine them fully and would give them a certificate of cleanliness. "Here you go. Here's your new paperwork." You know, kind of like a driver's license or whatever, yeah, except, you know, it's, you know, your clean sheet or whatever it is. Because everybody knew that you had leprosy, so you had to prove it. You know, if a leper just showed back up at home without a clean, you know, they'd freak out. So, you know, it's kind of like flashing a badge or something. "Here, I'm clean. I'm clean." Now, I tend to think that the friends and family of the now clean leper would pretty much hear them coming a long way off. I mean, get some good news like that. You're jumping for joy. Shouting, hallelujah. So they probably heard them coming off. What's the commotion, you know? But here comes our husband, mother, wife, father, child, brother, sister. They're restored to us. Jesus said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were healed. As they went. Didn't say they were healed, and then they started going. The 10 lepers turned around, started going to the priest. And along the way, they were healed. That was an act of faith on their part. Jesus said, "Go show yourself." They obeyed in faith, and along the way, they were healed. There was I read a very humorous story as I was researching and as I was studying and preparing for this. Two men were walking through a field and they realized that there was an enraged bull in the field with them. They started running for the nearest fence. Yeah, I would too. They started running for the nearest fence and the bull's chasing them. The bull's catching them, catching up to them. They realize they're not going to make it. One of them tells his friend, Start praying out loud right now, because unless God intervenes, we're not going to make it. The other man said, I've never prayed out loud in my life. The first man said, well, you better start now. The second man said, well, okay, the only thing I can think of is what my father said at grace every day. Oh, Lord, for what we're about to receive, may we be truly thankful. There was, I think, probably one of the biggest sins in our culture is a sin of ingratitude. We take things for granted. I take so much for granted. We have a mental block sometimes when it comes to being thankful for things or expressing thanks. There was a boy and his mother. Somebody gave the boy an orange. And the mother said, you know, as is typical, well, what do you say? What do you say to the nice man? The boy looked at the orange for a second, handed it back and said, peel it. Not the response that we try to get. Say, thank you. I'm always reminding my children, say, thank you. What do you say? You say, thank you. It's part of parenting. You know, we raise our kids up trying, hopefully, to be thankful. These men who stood from afar off and called out to Jesus had a serious need. We don't know how long they've been lepers, how long they've been separated from their family, from their jobs, from their friends. They had a need. It was a pretty obvious need. We all need God. Sometimes we don't see it as clearly. But in order to receive help, we have to reveal the need. Now, these 10 lepers, their need was physical, and it was obvious to everybody around. But a lot of us, for some reason, we don't share our needs with people. We don't let people know what we need. I'm guilty of this. Failure to express what I need. How can we receive help if we don't call out for it? If I have a need, I need to let people know. These 10 men called out to Jesus. They had a need. They called out to Jesus and he said, go and show yourself to the priest. And they did. Their prayer for healing resulted in obedience by faith. They said, Jesus, I have a need. Help me. He said, okay, go do this. And they immediately went and did it. They turned around and headed off. They started going to the priest as the law of Moses said they were supposed to do. Show yourself to the priest that you can be declared clean. Get your clean certificate. Get your life back. But there was one who was a little bit different. Verse 14, that very end, it says, as they went, they were cleaned. Verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Brief explanation. Jesus was a Jew. The Samaritans were not Jews. At best, they were half-breeds. Their religion was a mixture of the Old Testament and a bunch of other pagan stuff. They did not worship at the temple. The Samaritans worshipped at Mount Gerizim. To a Jew, the Samaritans were foreigners, interlopers, people who perverted the word of God because they didn't worship in the temple as they ought to. They didn't believe the entire, what we call the Old Testament, what the Jews just call the Scripture. In fact, the Samaritans only accepted the law. The first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. After that, the Samaritans added their own stuff. So they didn't have, for some, you know, Samuel or Chronicles or the Psalms or Proverbs or any of that. Just the first five books and a bunch of their own stuff. And it became a mixture, a hodgepodge of the local pagan religions and the faith of Israel, the faith of Judaism. Here we have a Samaritan, a foreigner, the one out of the 10 men who turns around when he notices, walking along the path, going to the priest, and suddenly something happens, and he recognizes, I'm clean. He becomes aware of his cleanliness. And so he turns around, and he comes back to Jesus. And I love this. He praises God with a loud voice. Praising God with a loud voice. I teach 5th and 6th grade at a Christian school. Often in the morning, I'll take my guitar to school, and we'll begin the day with some praise and worship. We'll begin the day by singing. And it's amazing to me how softly people can sing.
Give thanks, O Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever.
Oh, come on. That's not praising. That's barely falling asleep. That's barely not falling asleep.
Moping.
There we go. It's moping. But he called out with a loud voice. He praised God with a loud voice. Here is a man who has spent a good portion of time being forced by law, culture, society to call out in a loud voice, unclean, unclean. Now he gets to call out in a loud voice, praise God. Somewhere along the path, he recognized that he was clean. He saw the difference that Jesus had made in his life. He saw the changes that Jesus had wrought. He took advantage of the opportunity to praise God. He didn't finish his trip to the priest. As soon as he realized that he was clean, he turned around and went back to the road looking for Jesus. Remember, Jesus was walking on the road. He was traveling, which means he didn't stay in the same place. He was along the road. Off to the side of the road, here's 10 lepers. They call out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He tells them to go back, to go show themselves to the priest. He continues on his way. This man realized, wait a minute, if I continue on my journey, I might not have the opportunity to go back and thank Jesus Christ who saved me. He stops in his tracks, turns around, heads back to the road, tracks Jesus down, and calls out in a loud voice, praising God. Jesus hears this, stops. The man gets to him, reaches him, falls down on his face before Jesus, thanking him. Do you think this man wanted to show himself to the priest to get his clean certificate, to be able to go back to his family? Yeah, he did. He wanted to resume his life. The other 9 did as well. And that's what they were thinking of. I'm clean. Let me show myself to the priest. Let me get my certificate so I can resume my life, see my wife and my kids, my parents, my brothers, my sisters. I'm sure this one also thought that. But he took advantage of the opportunity to thank the healer. He wasn't so wrapped up in the blessing that he lost sight of the blesser. Christmas morning, I don't know how it is at your house, but it's always been sort of a free-for-all. I mean, I try to organize things, and we pass out the gifts one by one, but, you know, there's a certain age at which a child suddenly realizes that there's something good underneath this wrapping paper. And depending on how much tape is used, it can take anywhere from 0.0 seconds to 0.5 seconds to get that wrapping paper off. Just rip, and there it is. And the kids are so excited about what they get. Have you seen those Funniest Home Videos where somebody gets that gift and they're like, ah, ah, and they're jumping up and down and freaking? My favorite is this kid's like, wow, baby, what is it? him. Now that's an excitable person. I love that. But they're excited about this gift. And then you ask them the question, hey, who gave you that? I remember my mom would sit there with a notepad. Everybody's name in columns. This was before Microsoft Excel and laptops. Yes. There used to be a time when they did not exist, children. And she would write down the gift and who gave it to us so that she could send out the appropriate thank you cards to everybody. And we would sign them. She'd write them. Then I'd put my, 7, 8, 9-year-old scrawl across it. Okay? Who gave you that? Now, my memory is so horrid that I have to do that today. I mean, I don't remember what I got, or who gave me. Sometimes I don't remember what I got, What else did you get today? I hate that question. Bunch of stuff. It's all in a pile in the corner. Yeah. I'll go through it later. I'll itemize. But just like little children at Christmas, when we have a blessing, we often forget to thank the person who blessed us. Ultimately, it's always God. But God chooses to use people as a means of His grace. It's important to thank everybody concerned. This man saw the opportunity and he went back and he thanked Jesus. He was thankful for what Jesus had done. Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Here we have another amazing thing. It wasn't a Jewish person who returned to thank God, but a Samaritan person. This isn't the first time Jesus has touched in a Samaritan's life and saved a Samaritan person. Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Or another translation is, "Your faith has made you whole," or "Your faith has saved you." If you can translate it, "Your faith has saved you." And here we have a distinction between somebody who's physically healed and somebody who's been spiritually healed. 10 lepers have been physically healed, physically cleansed, physically saved. 9 go show themselves to the priest, and I'm sure this one did afterwards. 1 choose to come back and thank God. Praise God, thank Jesus. And Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you." His cleansing, his healing went beyond a physical thing and became a spiritual matter. What Jesus did in his life resulted in his salvation. I've had people tell me that they're afraid to go to church because they're not good enough. I'm afraid the roof would cave in if I walked in through that door. Where do you get that idea? That's ludicrous. Jesus never said to somebody, "Go get cleaned up and then come back and we'll talk." Jesus is in the business of saving people. Your life's messed up. You don't think you're good enough? Great. This is the place you need to be. The one place in the world you must go to. Because there's only one person in the world that can fix it. It's not going to cave in on you. There will be rejoicing in heaven. No, we don't need to become good enough for God. We can never become good enough. That's the one thing. Never become good enough for God. Praise God, we don't have to. Because Jesus Christ is the one who pours out grace upon us. Saves us from ourselves. Now this sin of ingratitude, failing to express it, is not something that I am immune to by any stretch of the imagination. Case in point of a recent failure in my life, which I will remedy Monday. I don't have an opportunity before Monday to do so, but Monday I will. I took 2 days off from work a couple weeks ago because my wife was out of town. So I took 2 days off from work and stayed home with the kids. And there was a... So I needed a substitute. one of the board members for Lake Elmore Christian School volunteered to be my substitute for those 2 days. She volunteered to do it without pay, which means that it didn't count on my vacation days. It didn't cost the school anything, so it didn't count. So I still have all my vacation days. I owe her some thanks. And I forgot last week to thank her. So today I'm going to be printing up a thank you card. And tomorrow I'm going to give her that thank you card. God blessed me through this woman. And I failed to be thankful. If you're breathing right now, and hopefully everybody is still, God is blessing you. God is blessing you. Be thankful. If you have a roof over your head, be thankful. If you have food to eat, be thankful. If you have clothes to wear, and I see that everybody does, be thankful. But too often, like a little boy who gave the orange back to the man and said, peel it, we moan that the house isn't big enough, the clothes aren't whatever's popular today, I don't even know. My cell phone isn't new enough.
I don't have the iPhone.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Oh, man, yesterday I was struggling with some unthankfulness in that area, I'll tell you. But we tend, we get trapped in ingratitude. Right, exactly. Like that little boy, we are lost in ingratitude and we bemoan what we don't have. We are blessed, but it's not good enough. I have an orange, peel it. Rather than saying, thank you, God. We say, but God, it's not good enough. Oh, here's another example from my life, what not to do. I remember one Christmas I was given a digital watch. Must have been 8 years, 7, 8 years old, something like that. And it wasn't quite at that time, but it was a bare minimum digital watch, but seriously, okay, this was the early 80s. I mean, digital watches were still pretty darn new. But my dad, now we were living in Asia at the time. Asia always had, you know, everything first, you know, digital-wise there. My dad had a watch that had more bells and whistles. I mean, it had a calculator, and it was just, it was awesome. And I remember putting my watch, I think on his nightstand with a note, I don't want mine, I want yours. Talk about ingratitude. Do you know what the result of that was? I had to buy my watch back with my allowance money. Yep. I had to buy my watch back. Yeah. That was a good lesson. I never did anything like that again. But see how insidious ingratitude is? We take things for granted. We think for some reason that we deserve something better than what we have. We should be thankful for what we have. If you've got something awesome, hey, praise God for it. And it's not necessarily a sin to want better stuff, but if that's what you're focused on, well, that's a sin. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. Not glory to me in the highest. I don't even know what the objective case for I, objective pronoun for I is in Latin, otherwise I'd use it. Do you remember? No? Okay. It's not glory to me in the highest, it's glory to God in the highest. We work for God. Our day job, we work for God. So your challenge this week. Think of someone who you might have forgotten to thank for something. And thank them. For kids, it's really easy. They're called parents. As a senior in high school, I remember my sister coming in one day telling my dad. My dad had apparently borrowed some money from my sister. My sister was like that. She's always been the one to save stuff. And my dad needed 20 bucks or something, probably gas. But my sister came to my dad and said, "Dad, you still owe me 20 bucks." And I remember almost spewing out what I was drinking at the time. It was hard to keep it contained. You see, and I left home and moved back in with my parents for my senior year of high school. I've been out there, and yeah. So I looked at my sister and said, "He what? Here where? I didn't realize you bought your own food here. You pay rent, do you?" "Wow, I didn't know that." She kind of gave me this blank look. "Huh? Having almost been kicked out of my parents' house, I recognized what a blessing it was for them to allow me to move back in with them. Find somebody that you may have forgotten to thank for something and thank them for what they've done for you. Think about your life and count up all of your blessings. There's a really old hymn that goes that way. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings and thank God for them. And then here's the kicker. Share those blessings with somebody else as a means of glorifying God. God will present you the opportunity to share what God is doing in your life and give Him the glory, because it's all about God. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. If He's blessed you, He wants you to share that blessing with others. Tell people what He has done for you and glorify Him. Father God in heaven, thank You for blessing us. And help us, God, to be thankful. Holy Spirit, convict us of our ingratitude. And help us, God, to glorify You above all things. To give You the praise and the honor that You deserve, Lord. In Your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to WBF Rewind. For more information about Westwood Bible Fellowship, visit us on the web at www.westwoodbf.com. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Simply search Westwood Bible Fellowship. Have a great day.